Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I we're in the end game, right? Is that accurate? Do you believe that there's any chance that Ryan Poles adds a new name to the list of finalists, or is this it? Will they make an announcement here momentarily, I guess?
I think you're sort of going to be at the point of either or, right? He's got to choose from one of the three guys that he's met with in the previous 2 days at Halas Hall, or expand it to bring in that the search committee has already spoken with, but he wasn't hired at the time that interview was conducted, or go outside of the list of candidates that the search committee created and bring in someone else. That would be the logical thing to me. I wouldn't be concerned that they didn't make a move last night or overnight. This guy literally just got hired on the job. He met with Matt Eberflus early yesterday, and then he met with Dan Quinn. Maybe it was a situation where he got a lot of great information and wanted to process it and wake up this morning and move forward.
Brad, I think the Bears clearly want it to be clear that Ryan Poles is making this decision and doing these interviews solo. And if that is important to them for whatever reason, and I think it's the right thing to do and the right way to approach it.
I mean, you know why it's important to them.
But okay, so if it's important because of the optics to create that image, isn't it important as well to let him continue and widen the search to leave the suggestion or create the impression that this is indeed his search and he's not just going to hire somebody who was on a list provided to him by the consultant?
Well, I would imagine the first time they chatted with Ryan Poles, part of that interview process is, what coaches do you admire? What coaches would you potentially have in mind for this job if you were in position? And if those questions come up, and so you have some names thrown around, you would think that Jim Caldwell, Matt Eberflus, and Dan Quinn would have been on that list. I don't think for optics they need to go outside this list unless he's wants to talk to somebody else. If he wants to talk to somebody else, by golly, go do it. Make it happen. Fly the person in. Have another interview, because he's got to feel comfortable with this hire. They've got to get this right. But yeah, they're letting everyone know. The new GM's making the choice because, frankly, I think they're smart enough to know that their fan base wouldn't be thrilled with the idea of anything else.
Yeah, listen, I think that all of this is going to change. The minute they hire a coach, that guy becomes the main focus of everything, and no one's worried about whether, you know, Ted had an influence or was George leaning over the guy's shoulder. I think it's just going to be, okay, here's the new Bears head coach. I think if it doesn't work in 3 or 4 years, it'll be, well, remember, he was hired and they gave him three names to choose. You know, all of this is interesting to watch it unfold, but the minute they name the coach, the focus shifts completely.
Yeah, oh, it's every, yeah. And it's not just Ryan Poles' coach, it's George McCaskey's coach. It's everyone in the organization's coach. You're absolutely right about that. Nobody's been, blaming Ernie Accorsi here in the last 2 months. Like, he hasn't been ragdolled for what happened the last time they had a consultant. So it'll be, Bill Polian will surely find a way to take some credit if the Bears wind up with some hires here that get them moving in the right direction and doing so in a relatively short period of time. Otherwise, nobody's going to talk about Bill Polian down the road if they have to go through this again.
All right, Brad, let me know what you think about this, potentially leading things toward having a resolution today. Nathaniel Hackett goes to Denver. He was also scheduled to have a second interview in Jacksonville. Jacksonville reportedly had talks fall through or at least hit a snag with Byron Leftwich. Matt Eberflus is the other guy in that equation. With his involvement in Jacksonville and the uncertainty there, could that force this thing to come to a head even quicker today in Chicago if indeed he's one of the finalists?
I suppose that kind of thing could happen. And obviously Denver worked to move pretty quickly because I think the Broncos were still sort of evaluating the situation and kind of reviewing notes and stuff yesterday, and then all of a sudden it's reported that Hackett is going to fly to Jacksonville, and obviously that thing picked up steam overnight in a hurry. I mean, what, that happened a little more than an hour ago, is that right? So, which is mighty early mountain time out in Denver for George Payton. GM there. So that tells you they were working through the night at the Broncos headquarters. Yeah, we could begin to see a domino effect, David. I think, by the weekend, you could have certainly a couple more of these filled. And then there's, nobody's talking about the Houston job. I think they're just looking to see what is left over. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Saints. A lot of people think Dennis Allen could be promoted there, but I believe they've got to follow all the protocols and rules with a coaching search before they could do something like that. So a lot of things need to happen for the Saints as well.
Yeah, it was interesting. Dennis Allen was scheduled to be interviewed by the Bears on, I think, Tuesday. And that interview was canceled, and he was in New Orleans for the big announcement that that Sean Payton is leaving. So a lot of people think he could be an obvious guy to step into that job. We'll see how that plays out. But pretty interesting that that job was canceled as they were hiring the new coach or the new general manager. Excuse me.
Yeah, and that was going to be a virtual Zoom deal, right, for Dennis. So who could hit next on coaches? I'd put the Bears in a group with the Giants, the Dolphins, and maybe Jacksonville. I think that's from that cluster of teams, you'll probably see the next coaching hires, and I'm saying plural there. I think Las Vegas is a little bit further behind. Obviously, Minnesota just got the general manager officially hired yesterday, and then Houston's just in another zip code.
Brad, let's talk about Dan Quinn for a second. If he's the guy that ends up with the job, I know we've talked about his possibility all week, but offensive coordinator, that's going to be the biggest hire. When you look at his history with the Falcons, certainly he had issues with Kyle Shanahan, which they got to the Super Bowl, but Dirk Cutter and some, Sarkisian, these were not necessarily decisions that reflected well on his judgment, especially when he had Matt LaFleur on his staff. What do you think the biggest question is he will have to answer, and how will he explain his past in Atlanta?
Yeah, he's going to have to present a staff that the Bears are going to have confidence in. And as much turnover as he had in that position when he was with the Falcons, if you just look at the numbers, and I know that doesn't tell the whole story every time, but the Falcons were top 10 in offense his first 5 years in Atlanta. You know, I don't really count the sixth year because he was fired after five games, right? So they were top 10 in offense. They were number one in the league in scoring 1 year, in year two, and then in the next 3 years, they were top half of the league in scoring, which, like, top half of the league in scoring might not sound incredible. In these parts, that's a juggernaut, right? I mean, for the Bears, that's a juggernaut. And really, I think these are key questions, and he's got to be able to provide answers and names that would make the Bears not only comfortable but confident. But I think the biggest issue for him, when you look at what happened on the field in Atlanta, and it's probably why the general manager, Thomas Dimitroff, was fired at the same time, is the defense really kind of spiraled. And they couldn't regain it there. And now they had a lot of injuries, and they had some personnel decisions that didn't work out. They had huge investments on the offense. So, yeah, this offensive coordinator thing's a big deal for him, and he's a guy with a defensive background. But when he was with the Falcons, statistically, that offense ranked pretty darn well, especially in comparison to what the Bears have done in forever. That offense was chugging.
When we look at the kind of four teams left in the relationship between coaches and quarterbacks, the relationship between, you know, all these offensive-minded coaches and the way they're going about it, is it – and I know that Buffalo was close, but they're not here. So when you look at it, how do you pick it apart? How do you feel about this particular group?
Well, in terms of what's going to happen this weekend?
No, in terms of how it reflects with the Bears.
Yeah, well, you've got Andy Reid, who, you know, there's not an Andy Reid in this hiring cycle, right? The guy who would be a slam dunk choice if he was on the market. But those other three teams all went with young offensive minds, Zach Taylor, Kyle Shanahan, and Sean McVay. And that's been the trend. That's what the Bears tried to do last time, guys. You know, Matt Nagy is about the same age as Kyle Shanahan. He's certainly older than McVay and older than Zach Taylor. But that's sort of been the pairing, and you go out and you either draft a quarterback like they did in Cincinnati in Joe Burrow, or with the Rams, you had a quarterback in place. You determined it was too much work to try to get to the promised land with that guy. So you go out and by any means necessary, get another guy in there, and they've got Matthew Stafford. And then in San Francisco, they're kind of doing both of that with having Jimmy Garoppolo and then making a huge, massive investment to trade up for Trey Lance. That's going to be a really big story for the 49ers moving forward, the draft capital that was paid to go get that quarterback. What if Jimmy Garoppolo takes the 49ers to a Super Bowl championship here? What happens then? So I think those are the coaching quarterback dynamics in play, and the Bears, they've got to find their coach, and then they've got to get the cast of assistants to put around their guy Justin Fields and see if they can get his career on track.
All right, Brad, so let's try to connect some of these dots and maybe watch the dominoes start to fall into place. What do you think about Miami? Is it Dave Bolivar? What do you think the Giants are leaning toward? And then if you had to, if you had to bet, how does that affect what the Bears do here and when they do it?
Well, certainly Dable doesn't look like he's in play with the Bears right now, right? So if Dable, right. if Dable comes off the board, I don't know that that's really going to affect what happens here in terms of timing. You know, a lot of people thought originally that after Joe Shane was hired as the GM for the Giants, that Dable would be a shoe-in there. I don't know that that's the case. They've kind of opened that thing up to more interviews for Shane to conduct. He's already done many interviews. He met with media yesterday. Shane, that is, did more interviews, and then they're back at it again today. I believe Brian Flores is meeting with the Giants today, the former Dolphins coach. So Dable goes to Miami. That would take one off the board. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in Jacksonville. You've seen the reports that contract talks with Byron Leftwich broke down. You know, how would that happen? Is that because of the GM Trent Baalke that has made that an undesirable landing spot for some coaches? Would it be, you know, language in the contract about the coach role, the GM role? I don't know. I would just be speculating. So you've got that in play there. And then, who do the Giants turn to? They interviewed Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator, for the job. They talked to Leslie Frazier again. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in all three of those spots.
What back to the Bears. What when you look at a timetable on this thing, it should happen today, right? I mean, just based on they've had interviews with the three candidates? Yeah.
They're picking from these three, I would think that it would happen today. If Ryan Poles would like to expand the list, I could see it carrying on a little bit further. And if that's the direction he wants to go, you could certainly understand it. He's got to get this hire right, guys. He doesn't have to get the hire done quickly. He's got to get the hire done
right.
In a manner in which he feels at his core that he's got the right guy.
Yeah, that's all you want. Hire with conviction, make a point, get it done. Unless he is uncomfortable with it, and then you expand it, but get it done.
Well, let's say they expand the list. I don't know that that would necessarily mean he's uncomfortable with the three guys that he talked to, or, you know what, I just have been curious about candidate Z, you know, some fourth guy, or candidates four and five. Those guys they're people that, you know, have come highly recommended. I've crossed paths with them previously. I'd really like to meet with them as well. It wouldn't necessarily mean he talked to Caldwell, Eberflus, and Quinn and said, no, these guys aren't going to get it done for me. It could just be a curiosity factor, which if he's got that, you got to allow him to be comfortable in his decision.
No question about it. Brad, thanks a ton. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That's Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. It's fascinating. It really is. It's going to be really interesting to see how this flushes out.
I know that nobody cares who the Jags hire as their head coach, Mully, but only because of Eberflus's involvement here in Chicago, I am intrigued by Hackett going to Denver, talks breaking down with Leftwich. If Eberflus emerges as the front runner there, does that take away a guy that somebody here wanted? He's obviously still in the mix for a reason, and who wanted him still in the mix? That's what I want to know. That's what we don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're going to know. I think we're going to know who they hire for sure. And I think we can come to the conclusion that Bill Polian is the guy that's pushing Jim Caldwell. I don't think that's a leap of faith in any fashion. But, you know, we got to wait and see. We got to wait, and hopefully it's resolved soon. And it's a huge story, and we have a lot of fun. All right, that's the plan. It's Mully and Haw. We're going to get to John Heyman in just a little bit, but we're going to get to your phone calls next. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Can you please tell the fans why the Bears gig, a head coach of the Chicago Bears, is the best gig out there right now? Take it away.
Are you out of your mind? Are we really comparing any other coaching availability to the Chicago Bears? This is the most storied franchise in the history of the NFL. The history of the NFL. You mentioned the names, Butkus, Peyton, Urlacher, McMahon, all of them. There is a huge, huge history here. I think this opening with Justin Fields, the future of the NFL, is absolutely 100% the coaching spot. Plus, it's Chicago, baby. Come on. Deep dish pizza. Let's go. Lumonati's. Let's go. Come on.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the WWE wrestler Seth Rollins on the NFL Network. Good Morning Football. And, he is making the case the Bears' job is the best opening, and we are also playing his WWE entrance music. We are apparently huge Seth Rollins fans.
Well, he made a pretty good plea. The pizza stuff was a bit much to lay on pretty thick, if you will, at the end. But even though it was a bit, and even though it was an NFL Network thing, and obviously he's playing to the crowd, he's a Bears fan, all those things being true. Mully, he's got a point. He's got a point when you look at these jobs and you remind yourself that as much dysfunction as has existed with the Bears, as much skepticism as the McCaskies have earned at Hallis Hall, this is still a quote-unquote legacy job, isn't it? This is still could be a place where people look at, if you're introduced tomorrow, Dan Quinn, if you're introduced tomorrow, Matt Eberflus or Jim Caldwell, who would be on his third stop. There's something special about being the head coach of the Chicago Bears. There just is. And I think that is worth remembering as they are on the verge of naming the next guy, whoever Ryan Poles. See, I almost did. Whoever Ryan Poles.
You nearly said it.
I nearly did, but I didn't.
So Joe Shane was on the NFL Network, and he said the following about the head coaching search. He said, quote, "We're going through an extensive process vetting outside candidates. The ability to put a good staff together is very important to me. Emotional intelligence is important to handle the ups and downs of the NFL."
Okay, true. No argument there. When he talks about staff, was he talking about his front office staff, or is he talking about the staff the head coach puts together?
He's talking about the head coach's staff. He's talking about, saying, if you're going to hire a guy, I want to know who he's hiring and who's around him, and that's the most important part of it, along with emotional intelligence. In other words, you can't be up and down. You got to be kind of a straight line.
And the best way to predict that somebody is going to be that guy and have that sort of emotional intelligence, that composure when things get a little bit tight, is by basing it on experience. We know Jim Caldwell would be that guy, right? We're not worried about Jim Caldwell being that guy. Dan Quinn's experience in Atlanta would lead you to believe that he's going to be better equipped at being steady through adversity that he'll encounter. So you value that experience. With Eberflus, you don't quite know because he's never done it yet. And maybe there's a candidate out there that will still be interviewed that will bring something different to the table. But yeah, I think emotional intelligence implies maturity, which implies, to me, experience is what you would favor in a situation like this.
I find it fascinating that, you know, just for instance, if you're Ryan Poles and you're sitting down with these guys and you've got like a little checklist in front of you, and you're like, okay, so Jim, who's your defensive coordinator? Who's your quarterback coach? Just go through the list. And if Jim Caldwell has a plan for being able to develop the quarterback, that's great. I think that's a very important element of it. But I also think you got to have all those names, and you got to know kind of what he's looking for and how he's going to approach it in that way. Ditto with, maybe more important with the defensive guys. Who's calling your game, right? Who's going to make the quarterback better, and how are you going to do it?
Don't know specifics about Dan Quinn, but I just want to speak about him for a moment because when you talk to a couple people who are coaches in the league yesterday, and the word on Dan Quinn is that he would be the guy, whether it's in New York with the Giants or Chicago with the Bears, and in the context of the conversations that I had, it was still Denver, which was a possibility, which no longer is. He was thinking about going out there today, I think, Mully. They hired Nathaniel Hackett. But as it pertains to Dan Quinn, there's a thought or a belief that he's going to come armed with the best staff, perhaps, of any of the candidates available, the most proven staff of assistant coaches because of his experience in the league, the respect that they have for him, and the fact that he is one of those guys, as we have alluded to, when you go into the room, no matter how you're feeling, and you talk to Dan Quinn, you leave it feeling better. He's just one of those kind of guys who can change the tone and change the culture, if you will, at a place that desperately needs it.
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you. The more I think about it, the more I think about Poles' connection to him through his best bud, I think he's probably going to be the guy. I have not, just in talking to people, I've heard an argument for Jim Caldwell, as crazy as that sounds. To me, Eberflus is the great mystery. Nobody seems to have a ton of information on that among the people I'm talking to, and no one really seems to believe that he's going to wind up being the guy, at least among, again, the people that I'm reaching out to and trying to talk to.
I agree with that. And I have had the same experience and conversations that I've had. And I don't think we're talking to the same people, but we could be. But right. It's a matter of just trusting, you know, conventional wisdom in times like these. And it's going to be, you know, the Bears to some degree, you know, Matt Eberflus, it's a terribly unfair comparison, but the fact that he's a coordinator without any head coaching experience, they just went down that road with Matt Nagy. And I think, frankly, they were hurt by his inexperience at times when they needed him to be more steady or more composed or just more, if he were a political candidate, more presidential. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You needed him to be a little bit more like a head coach should be at times. And they don't know that about Matt Eberflus. He could turn out to be a great head coach, and he might be. But I think that you're looking for more predictables, more things that you removing, you know, you keep your knowns known. And when you have guys who have done that job before, it just is easier to project how they will handle crises. And there are going to be many of them in the years to come in Chicago and every NFL job. But you want to know that they can handle them when they arise.
Yeah, I find it really interesting when you apply all the things that we're talking about here to what we saw from Matt Nagy and where they wound up and what they did and all of it. I think it's kind of fascinating to think of what kind of didn't work. And to me, it comes down to this idea that he was so married to his scheme that he was, and this is, I think, one of the problems with some of these kind of hotshot young coordinators. You can have great success if you got the right players. If you come into a play, I'm not saying Zach Taylor's not a good coach, but Joe Burrow is a good quarterback and a rising star in this league. And Ja'Marr Chase was a great draft pick and has a great relationship with his quarterback. And, you know, they've played a lot of football together, even though it hasn't always been, even though the guy's a rookie. So there is an understanding between the two of them. I think that helps you run your system. I think what happened with the Bears, a lot of it was the quarterback. They never married the coach and quarterback. You know, they tried that. They tried different things. You know, they thought Nick Foles would work, and it didn't work. Never got on the same page with Mitch. Andy got hurt. You can go through the whole list of it, but they never reached that spot where they had good enough at one spot that the other spot looked better maybe than it actually could be, because Nagy was so married to just his scheme.
You're right. The scheme controlled every decision and was framing every move, and that became a problem. Mully, 630 texter says, Dan Quinn has already been spotted at the airport this morning, heading back to Dallas. Thoughts on what that could mean? Well, 630, if that's the case, call the show. Let us know details. A lot of guys could look like Dan Quinn. Are you sure it was him? And I don't know how to read into that, Mully. It could be a number of things. It doesn't mean he didn't get the job. It doesn't mean he's going back to get his favorite suit. I don't know what it would mean, but if you saw Dan Quinn at the airport this morning, call us.
I mean, hey, we've seen guys we thought were head coaches drive out of Hallis Hall and get on an airplane. That's happened.
Yeah. You know, it would be so perfect, though. Maybe they're just setting it up. 312-644-6767. If you spotted Dan Quinn at O'Hare, let us know. But, Mully, maybe they're waiting for him to come back so George can go pick him up.
You know, I honestly think that that's very good. I honestly think that Jim Caldwell's still in the cafeteria. He's been there through all the interviews.
You know, Ryan Pace did improve the menu. It's a very big menu, Mully.
312-644-6767. Let's get to Joe. Joe is on the road. Hey, Joe.
Hey there. Quick question for you. You guys were saying how over the last 3 months, how you really want a leader of men. It doesn't seem to me like Eberflus is – we have no idea if he's a leader of men, correct?
Well, no, I think we do. It's a good question. Mully, would you agree? The word on Eberflus, the people that have worked with him, say that is one of his strong suits and why he's getting so much attention this cycle.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of play in a lot of different places. This is not like a guy the Bears are creating as a coach. I think what's interesting is I'll be very curious to see if Jim Caldwell ends up getting the job, because he's not getting a ton of play in a lot of different places. And in fact, when the report came out that he had turned down opportunities in other places, he actually got on Twitter and said, nah, that's not true. Wasn't offered interviews there.
What'd you think of that? Because
I thought it was weird.
It was a little unusual, as if to say, hey, no, I'm very interested. Please call me.
I mean, you can find me at the cafeteria at 1920 Football Drive.
They have quite a wine list that Ryan Pace instituted. Thank you for that. And I'm going to sample everyone until they hire me.
That's hysterical. All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're bringing John Heyman. Let's talk some baseball. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. John Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider. WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast. At John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score. And, of course, joining the show is Odyssey MLB Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to the data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. And John joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here talking a little baseball. Finally, something going on.
Yeah, we finally have a hot stove. Well, it's not really hot. I mean, listen, it's freezing out, but it's, you know, maybe the flame could start a little bit. It's still a little embers, but, man, they actually met. They actually got into the same room, and they did it 2 days running. And, listen, they're miles apart. But there were a couple little things. You know, you think to yourself, well, if they can get in agreement mode, maybe we can have spring training on time.
Yeah, I feel optimistic for the first time that we're going to get this done. They're going to get this done, and we're going to have a full season. I really do feel that way. It's possible it's delayed a little bit, but I think we're going to have a full season. You know, I think the union has conceded a few points, and that's big. They wanted the free agency to move up from 6 years, and I think they've said it's okay at 6 years. We're staying status quo there, and same thing with the revenue sharing. They wanted $100 million less shared by the big clubs. Now it's $30 million So, you know, I think we're moving in the right direction. That's good to see. I think MLB is a little bit more encouraged about the way things are going right now. So let's all feel good about the progress. And you're right, they met for 2 days. They actually looked at each other in the eye, and that's a good sign. But right now they're talking about the non-core issues, trying to get those out of the way, but they are still talking.
And I think that's good, John. And I think messaging is so important. And I wonder if the progress that they made surprised the owner's side a little bit. And that's why maybe these reports were couched in a positive way. Because as you tweeted out yesterday, and I talked to somebody who has more of a, maybe sees it from the union point of view yesterday, there wasn't as much optimism, I think, maybe from that point of view as there might have been from the reports that I read. Is there a disparity, and there a difference in how this is being interpreted?
Yeah, I think so. There might be a difference in personality, too. It seems like the union leader, right now, Bruce Meyer, he's pretty tough. So, you know, I think he gives the same response every time that he's disappointed. Maybe he's legitimately disappointed, or maybe he's just trying to get MLB going. I'm not sure, but... you know, I can see, you know, it's kind of in a gray area right now because they did meet, there were concessions made, there is progress, but as you said, there is a long way to go. They're still really not talking about the core issues, which is, I think the biggest issue is the competitive balance tax. Last year, two teams went over the Dodgers and the Padres. It was at 210, and right now MLB has offered to move it to 214. And the union has said 245. So we're $31 million apart on that. That's quite a gap, I think. And so that's the biggest thing right now, I think.
John, the Hall of Fame, you know, it's a one-man class. We know that Big Poppy, just by virtue of his nickname, is going to fill up a lot of space. An entire class, though, very interesting. And, you know, I mean, someone made the point, he's actually the only guy that tested positive for steroids to get into the Hall of Fame in this era, because obviously the clock ran out on Barry Bonds and on Roger Clemens, and A-Rod comes in at a lower rate than Bonds had his first time out. I think it was like 34.5 to 36%. Any surprise for you about any of that? Did Rob Manfred's kind of stamp of approval change things for Big Poppy?
Yeah, I don't think it hurt. No question about it. You know, there's no surprise anymore because we have that early tracker that Ryan Thibodeau does. So we kind of knew that Ortiz would probably get in and the other guys would not get in. So not a surprise. That said, I don't think it was a great result. I don't think it was the writers' finest hour. You know, to me, there were seven guys on that ballot who were connected to steroids, PEDs, and, you know, it was a tough ballot, and, you know, the writers have only themselves to blame because we didn't do a good job investigating or reporting during that time, so I'm part of that crew. But tough ballot because the seven most accomplished players on that ballot all are connected to PEDs. Then you had about 15 other guys who were good, very good players, near great players, who could be said to be borderline. You could make a case for them for or against. So, you know, there wasn't anybody who was a slam dunk, no Griffey, no Jeter, no Rivera. I mean, no Rivera, no, you know, Cal Ripken type. Nobody who was an obvious Hall of Famer on that list. So it was very, very difficult, but I do not think the result was appropriate. To me, you know, I think it looks bad that Ortiz, and obviously he's a great player and he's clutch and a great teammate and great for Boston. I get all that, but he's one of the seven guys on this ballot linked to PEDs, and of the players on the ballot, he's probably the fifth best or most accomplished player. A-Rod, Ramirez, Clemens, and Bonds, all also linked to PEDs, really had better careers, as great a career as Ortiz had. So I don't get why Ortiz got in on the first ballot, and Bonds and Clemens, for example, took 10 ballots and still not are not in. I didn't like changing the rules to begin with, and I think you should have 15 years for everybody. You know, the rules were the rules, so I think they were designed to prevent Clemens and Bonds. And, you know, I get it. I mean, there's certainly reason to keep them out. They did cheat a lot. So I get that. But to me, I don't get the Ortiz vote on the first year. I think, and you guys may disagree, you know him better than I do, to me, Ortiz and Sosa are similar candidates. One guy ended up 78%. I don't even remember where Sosa was, somewhere around 30%, I think. You know, they're both linked to PEDs. They both failed that test, survey test, in 2003. And they had both had great careers. Sosa, 60 home runs three times. And then Ortiz, three world championships he brought to Boston. Similar wars. Sosa actually did play the field. He wasn't a gold glover, but I do think that's a plus. I really couldn't separate those two, but apparently 50% of the electorate found it easy to separate those two. I asked Bob Costas about how you reconcile this, and he was able to do it. He saw more smoke with Sosa, but, you know, I'm just going on what we know. We know that they both failed that test in 2003. We know they had similar careers. You know, you could say there's more smoke with Sosa, all that. He was called in and to testify. He didn't really speak English like he normally does. I get it, but I was disappointed in the result, and I get it. Ortiz is a great player, and Boston loves him, but I thought we did a bad job.
Yeah, well, part of it was because Ortiz accomplished what he did, John, after 2004, the testing policy was implemented, and Sosa's came before that. Look, I could go point by point. You end up sounding like a prosecutor litigating a case, and I think that's part of the problem here is that all of us voters are in a position having to explain our ballots, and it's really dull and boring, and instead of celebrating these guys, the greatness of the game, you end up being criticized or criticizing the process, which needs some corrections. I guess the question to you would be then, are we going to get any help? Are they going to get any more further guidance from the Hall of Fame to try to broaden the criteria or to kind of make it easier so we don't have this annual debate that has nothing to do really with the greatness of the sport?
I don't think we're going to get any more guidance. And to me, I wouldn't change the rule. To me, that's almost changing the rules. I wouldn't do that. So I don't blame them. And we brought this on ourselves. So we have ourselves to blame for doing a bad job with the steroids at the time. So, I didn't like the rule change from 15 to 10 years. I would like the rule change where you are kicked off the ballot if you don't get 5%. We've eliminated a lot of great players who got less than 5%, and I'd like to keep voting on some of them. I was glad to see Rollins over 5%. I was disappointed that Lincecum got under 5. I didn't vote for him, but the rules are the rules. You're right. We end up talking about the wrong stuff, and the writers end up being the bad guys, which, you know, we made a mistake. I don't think we're the bad guys, but, everybody's got their own opinion, and I'm willing to take the bullets. It's unfortunate. The reality of it is, Ortiz was a great and clutch player, and he did only fail that one test, and he did test positive after that. So, you're right. We should just celebrate, and I should probably stop talking about all this stuff.
Hey, John, we'll let you go. Just quickly on the way out, the Cubs have been mentioned with I'll mess his name up. It's Seiya Suzuki or Seiya Suzuki. It's not Seiya Suzuki.
Okay. Yeah, it feels like he wants to be on the West Coast, and that they're getting a lot of interest from a West Coast team. So I think it's more likely, just reading the tea leaves, that he go to Seattle, San Francisco, or San Diego. But the Cubs are in the mix there, and several teams are a terrific all-around outfielder and would be a big help. We'll see. They've also been mentioned with Correa. I'll be impressed if they spend that kind of money for those kind of years. They did spend a lot of money for Stroman, but it's basically could be a two-year deal. It's a three-year deal, but he could opt out. So much shorter deal. I'll be impressed if they do it. I think it's more likely we'll see him somewhere else. I'm kind of getting the hints now, finally, that the Yankees may have some interest in Correa. That could change the equation because, he's wanted more than $330 million. I'm not sure he's going to get there, but, if he takes less with the Yankees, he could say, I wanted to be a Yankee all along, which the feeling to me is that he does want to be a Yankee. So I think the Yankees are in play there. That's going to be tough for the Cubs. And I think the Braves are in play. Both L.A. teams could possibly fit him in if they go that route. We haven't really heard them connected. And, you know, I guess Boston's an outside possibility. And, you know, that should be an interesting one. But I do think that Suzuki, more likely for the West Coast. I could be proven wrong, but it's good to see the Cubs connected to some of these great players now.
Great stuff, John, as always. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Thanks, John.
All right, good talking to you guys. See you later.
That was Odyssey MLB Insider John Heyman. Insider Calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You want to know more about the Bears' new general manager? Are you a fan of Ryan Poles, or maybe you just don't know? We're going to give you some remarkable insight next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.